Hi, today's April 7th, 2019. This is MoViews Podcast 291. Where we're going to talk about Google Stadia, maybe for like a minute, maybe more. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about it. And there's a whole bunch of Apple announcements, some of which are interesting, some of which are just weird. We've got a guest, Sven, our old pal Sven Johansson, and another guest who I've never met, friend of John's, Steve. Yep, how do you pronounce your last name?
Jock.
Okay, E is silent. Got it. Yep. And of course my buddy John Westfall. So Steve, what's your tech preferences?
I'm definitely a hardcore Google Android person. Background is engineering, so I do a lot of FPGA design. So that's my tech area.
Neat. And what about desktops? Do you have any preference for desktop operating systems?
I'm still fine with Windows 10 or Ubuntu.
Okay. Typical nerd.
Yeah, I'm a gamer. I'm more of a gamer, and a lot of the applications and CAD tools either run on Windows 10 or they run on Ubuntu or some kind of Red Hat enterprise. So
cool. Well, we're pretty loose here, so just jump in whenever you feel like saying something.
Sure.
Let me see. The first thing I wanted to mention, I wanted to ask John, actually, because I just noticed it today. So I noticed there's an iMovie update for macOS, of course. Version... what is it? Whatever version it is. 10.1.11. And there's a thing that says in the update section, what's new? Detects media files that may be incompatible with future versions of macOS after Mojave and converts them to a compatible format. John, you know what those formats are? Like what? I assume they're video formats, but...
I'm going to go with the popular answer of they're whatever formats Apple thinks are antiquated. But I don't really know what they're talking about there, because I could understand if we were still in an era where macOS contained 32-bit support to, you know, maybe there were codecs that never got updated to 64, but we're in a 64-bit era on macOS, so I'm not sure. I would hope that these are like containers that are no longer in frequent use, like ASF and other containerized formats for media, but... okay. It is definitely vague and scary.
Okay, so we got to go do some research on that one because, you know, I don't want to be surprised one day that you cannot load your, you know, whatever. Although it does say
it will convert it, right.
But, you know, what at what price? You know what? Is it a lossy conversion or whatever? All right. So
Apple would never do lossy conversion.
The price will be your pinky finger.
Yeah.
Just, you know... you don't use that one anyways.
Okay, next up, which I don't think will be a long discussion, but I did want to hear your... Steve's a gamer. Maybe he has some
thoughts. Yeah, and a Google guy.
And a Google guy,
so this might be interesting.
Okay, so Google Stadia was announced a couple of, two, 3 weeks ago, I guess? It's been a while. We haven't had a podcast in a while. And it's a gaming platform. We don't know what games. We don't know how much, I think. I'm not even sure when it launches. I think maybe fall 2019, not sure. So... I don't get it. and also, Google is not really a good gaming platform. None of them.
It's streaming, though. You have to do streaming today. If you're not doing streaming, you're not doing games.
Cool. Well, I mean, we'll get to that with Apple Arcade, which is not streaming, but still. Anyway, thoughts, Steve? Did you take a look at this? Or closer look?
So John and I game on Monday nights with a group of Canadians that we've been talking to for a long time, and we had a conversation about it. I'm not a huge fan of it. I mean, I could see the place and the fit for it if you're an Apple person, and Apple traditionally doesn't include decent video cards in their very expensive products.
Yeah.
And it just confuses the crap out of me, but that's just how they work. And that's a great platform for you then. If you want a game and you have a decent, you know, internet connection, that's fine. But I still don't have a huge liking for it. It's very internet dependent. I'm sure they're going to position these all over the U.S. and give you latency and whatnot. But I still can't get decent, continuous 4K quality YouTube video. And you're expecting me to get something that's almost near real-time rendered with input sent back to me at a decent latency.
And two-way interaction.
Yeah, it's just, maybe they'll prove me wrong. It's Google. They got a lot of resources to do it. But, I mean, if you're still out slower internet, I can go buy a copy of the game. I can have a decent gaming PC that I can put together for $600-$800 to do 1080p and game. And really, like when you're doing like a social type of gaming setup where you're just audio and the game traffic, you're not talking a lot of bandwidth.
Okay.
So remote areas, you can still game fairly decently. You're going to have to wait forever for the patches, but you could do it.
Yeah,
and that service won't.
So, from a gamer's point of view, what is decent bandwidth and what is reasonable or acceptable latency?
Latency, I'd say probably 60 milliseconds. I'm not, maybe 100 if you're not doing anything competitively. Okay. Decent bandwidth, 5 megabit.
Oh, so not too demanding.
No, I mean, really the game uses far less. So, I mean, I spent a couple of years over in the Middle East and I had the most interesting setup where I had an LTE connection to a laptop, and a laptop did internet connection sharing to my Xbox. And then I was gaming over that, and the latencies were okay. Like, all my audio went through it, and for a couple hours of gaming, I'd use up, like, maybe 10 megs. Okay. Very low.
Which, that brings up an interesting point. Steve and I have talked about streaming video over local area network
mm-hmm.
for, you know, some of the products that exist to game in multiple places in your house mm-hmm. and stream from your gaming PC. And the amount of traffic that generates over the local network is just amazingly large. And, of course, it assumes you're on local, so it doesn't really care about right. optimizing or compressing. But still, how much traffic is actually going to come through, and bandwidth limits are still a thing for most people on cable internet connections.
Mm. And definitely, well, not definitely, but for many people on mobile devices, you know, on a cell network too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although these days 5 megabits down is kind of normal for a phone, and 60 to 100 milliseconds, you know, I really haven't looked at latency in a phone lately, but I don't think it's much worse than that. If
yeah, but next year we'll all have 5G, so you know.
Well, if you have AT&T,
AT&T has phone, it now.
Yeah, you've got 5GE, right, or something. Like that.
Yes, right.
Thanks, AT&T.
I do.
What a joke. I have AT&T, by the way. Yeah, so way fun. Okay, so I don't know. I don't have anything more to say about Stadia because they really didn't tell us much, right? Price, well, games.
Yeah, I mean, prices, you know, where it kind of factors in. Like, you know, if you're going to pay X amount for a subscription and I can just go build a PC, what's the return factor? What's the games?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot, too much up in the air to really say yay or nay.
Okay. I'm getting buzz on somebody's mic. You might want to try to unplug your USB and plug it back in. I don't know why that helps, but it does.
And now, are you still hearing buzz?
Nope, no buzz.
Yeah, and I didn't do anything on my end, so I don't know who amongst us is the buzzer.
I'm blaming Sven. Sven, you back on?
Yeah, I'm back on.
Okay, I think it's Sven.
Might have been me.
All right.
I wasn't eating crackers.
I don't have anything else to say about Stadia, so let's move on to the Apple announcements. And there are really two sets, right? There was a hardware announcement, which was non-announcement. They just sort of appeared, I think. Or, you know, had little news articles and no event.
It dribbled out.
Yeah, and then a whole bunch of service announcements, which did have a big event, and quite frankly was not half exciting as the non-announcements to me. But that's why I want to talk to you guys to see what you're thinking. Okay, so to me the most exciting thing was the iPad mini with Apple Pencil, first generation Apple Pencil support, and a couple other things, you know, really fast processor. An A12 Bionic and a True Tone color, 25% brighter. But mostly it's a new iPad mini that has Apple Pencil support. So I ordered it that day. Just got it on Friday, a little later than most folks. And really, really enjoying it. Although I do notice there is a separation when you use a pencil. There is a noticeable separation between the top of the screen, and I don't have a screen protector, top of the screen and the actual surface, which I don't see on iPad Pros. Did anybody else order an iPad mini? Sven, you order. You buy everything.
Sort of. No, it's for my wife.
Okay.
She wanted one. So, yeah, we're not an artist type thing, so I don't notice that, but it's certainly the mini and the new regular iPad is significantly different than the iPad Pro.
Yeah.
As far as screen technology, so it's probably more like the old, yeah, or the old new iPad.
And price.
Call that thing.
And price.
97. Yeah, and price. Oh, significant difference.
What is the price?
The
twice. For the pros, twice the price.
Yeah, that's so, pretty much so it.
For smaller space, you pay twice the price. But yeah, what was it like?
I think the iPad Mini
like
starts at,
or something. She got the LTE.
Yeah, I think the iPad Mini starts at $399 for 64. And $499 for 256 meg, gigs.
Yeah.
And there is no 128, yeah, which is a shame because that's a sweet spot,
yeah,
for me. I would have bought a 128. But then, yeah, so I picked up the
56. We bought the LTE version, so that's another $120.
Yeah. Okay.
On top.
Yeah, I just got the Wi-Fi. I'll tether if I need to, so not a big deal. It wasn't really the new iPad Air. I didn't even really look at it because wasn't in my horizon. But I'm sure if you need a lower cost, not low cost, but lower cost full size iPad, it's probably a good one to look at, especially now that it supports I guess the last year's model did too, but supports the first gen iPad Pencil. So, you know, one thing people have been grumbling about on internet, the elitists, is that the iPad Mini 2019 still has a big bezel, still has a Lightning port, no USB-C, and let's see, what else were they grumping about? I can't remember, but you know what? I like the big bezel because it means I don't put fingerprints on my screen when I grab it from the edge, you know? So for me, that's a plus. Lightning port, I can take it or leave it. One thing I found out interesting, since you still have to plug your first-gen iPad, your Apple Pencil, into the Lightning port to charge, it is so thin, you cannot do it screen side up. So what I ended up doing, because I have a cover on it, I do it screen side down with the cover on, and then it's just thick enough so the edge of the pencil doesn't touch the table and kind of bend upwards. Hmm. Or you can put it at the edge of the table, but that seems dangerous to me.
Yeah, it always seemed like a strange engineering decision to do that anyway.
Yeah.
But I read somebody where a friend of his kid picked it up like a lollipop, and it seems structurally sound. Didn't hurt it. You don't want to do it too
much. Yeah, in the 20 milliseconds it took for the dad to jump over anything in his way and grab it from the child's hand. Yeah, it was probably structurally sound for that amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, is there a YouTube video or something
on
this?
The table is a big deal.
That'd be pretty funny. So. Anyway, really happy. Oh, and I should mention, you know, because it's the same form factor as the old iPad Mini, the iPad Mini 4.
Almost, not quite.
The screens, the screen protectors and stuff all fit.
Well, screen protectors do, but they moved the volume buttons just enough that.
So if you have a case,
form-fitting case, it doesn't work.
Okay. Yeah. And I just got a smart
cover.
If you
got a hole in your case, yeah.
Yeah.
It has a hole where the volume buttons. It's, you know, like 3-4 millimeters, but enough. And I noticed there's some microphone holes that are in different places. So.
Okay. And I just use a smart cover.
I was looking at
it,
my wife has a 4 and a new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart cover works. Yeah.
Anyway, if you're using that new iPad Mini, whatever, 5 or 2019, whatever we're calling it, despite some of the naysayers on the internet, I like it a lot.
I'm not an Apple person. I saw the price and I was like, that's pretty nice. I'm somewhat tempted for it, but I can't seem to figure out how to make a tablet work into my daily life. So I was just like, eh.
So here's my question, what we think. Do we think that the choice to use Lightning and use the first gen Apple Pencil was a cost decision, or was it an engineering didn't sync up? Like, we've been working on this iPad Mini refresh for a little longer than we thought, and iPad Air refresh for a little longer than we thought. We already built in first gen support in Lightning, so we're not going to delay this anymore by adding in USB-C and the second gen Apple Pencil.
Okay, so two theories.
Well, you'd also have to put the wireless into it, the wireless charging for the new pencil.
Yeah.
So two theories. Theory number one, not theory number one, but Apple's claim is theory number one. We assume it's true, is that the inductive charging for the pencil and the USB-C port are quote-unquote pro features. That's what Apple said, okay? Theory number two, which goes more along with what Sven and John just said, is they designed this thing like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and just didn't release it. And I'm kind of leaning towards number two.
That does seem like a likely thing, because you and I have talked for the last year about how we figured the iPad Mini was dead.
Right.
I figured the iPad Air was dead. I don't think we ever even talked about it, because the Air 2 came out so long ago. The Air 2 predated the iPad Mini refresh, because the iPad Mini 3 and Air 2 were released the same day back in October of, I think, 2014.
Apple did release a non-Pro iPad last year. You know, which kind of is the same form factor as iPad Air. They just didn't call it Air, I think.
Well, you got to figure with the inductive charging for the pencil with the USB-C, and if you take the bezels off and put the EyeSight camera or whatever it is for face unlock on there, you're probably going to add another $150 or so to the price. And that would look bad if they released a new Mini. They generally release the upgrades at about the same price point as the old one was.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think about it. So if they'd all of a sudden released a new one at, you know, $150 more on a $400 product, that's a significant increase. They might not have sold as many.
Yeah, actually.
And the pencil's more expensive.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. The new Apple Pencil is more expensive than the old one. I was a little surprised they put the Bionic A12 processor in there. I'm not complaining, but I was surprised. Yeah, I think it makes it faster than my Pro.
I just want the iPad Mini Pro now. Or iPad Pro Mini, or whatever. That would be an interesting product.
Yeah.
So with a USB-C and a smart connector and all kinds of goodies that?
Yeah, smart connector, USB-C. Like, basically just take my 11-inch iPad Pro and shrink it down.
Yeah.
That could be a very interesting device.
Yeah. And I will
note
it's
a perfect size for a purse. Not that I carry one, but like I said, my wife does.
Well, I carry a Merce, so oddly my wife carries a full-size iPad, but... What you gonna do? but I carry a Mini.
I thought
you
were gonna say I carry a Merce and my wife carries just a wallet in her back pocket. Yeah, let's do the complete reverse.
But I do carry a Merce, as you all know. You've seen me carry it at various conventions and summits and places where we have gathered in real life. It a lot.
No, I was just going to say, you're talking about Merces. I just did a closet clean out, and as usual, when I brought a bunch of things to work and said, here, anyone want these? Most of them were gone within a day or two.
Of course.
Men are just as into bags these days than women.
We have more stuff to carry nowadays, you know, and it's a first world problem, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least now the batteries are getting better, so we don't have to carry a, you know, USB charger set up all the time, although I still do.
I just go old school, hamster and a wheel.
There you go.
Take that.
Yeah, I tested the iPad Mini 5 or whatever we're going to call it with Procreate, which is my favorite doodling app, and it works fine. Like I said, you did notice a separation between the top of the screen and the actual display. There is an air gap that you don't see in an iPad Pro. So that's a little bit disconcerting when you drag your pencil across, but I don't think it's going to bother me too much longer. I've been using it for 3 days now or something like that. Sorry. Got a phone. And... No.
Oh,
it's my daughter's university calling for their annual donation thing. So, no, I've already paid 4 years. I'm done. Sorry. Next up was the AirPod V2. Now, I was the person who told John. I said, you know, John, as soon as the version 2 of the AirPod comes out, I'm going to buy it. Then it came out, and I looked, and I said, nah. I guess.
Funny enough, I looked at it and went, nah, as well. Not a substantial refresh of any sort. It's a logical, you know, upgrade.
Yeah.
But it's really not something that I think is worth the money. If you didn't have AirPods and you had a choice, go with it.
Yeah.
And you want it. But I would still hold out for an actual... what I want is for Apple to figure out how to put more controls on the thing.
Wanted to have biometrics.
Buy the new Power Beats.
You know, yeah,
that's true.
And it is more expensive though, but it does sound better.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping they'd put some biometric in. I thought, you know, maybe like body temperature would be interesting to track now that we can do, you know, heart rate and other things.
That's true, too.
But they did not deliver that. What it did deliver is a faster processor. They claim it has 50% more talk time. And you can do the, you know, the Siri thing without having to tap the headset like an animal. So,
I mean, maybe now it's not partially held together with hot glue.
Because,
You know, that was what they found when they tore down the original AirPods, was that there were components that they were too small for any other adhesive. And so I have not noticed any problem with that on my AirPods, and they're 3 years old now. But still, maybe Apple found, you know, a new superconducting screw of, you know, nanometer proportion.
We should also note
that the only thing that really interested me was, honestly, the wireless charging.
Right, which you can get for your current AirPod. You don't need to get
the AirPod. Yeah, for $80. I mean, that's it's a little steep, you know.
You can get a lightning cable for $3.
Yeah. Well, for, you know, $15, I can get a case that goes on the case that gives me lightning.
Yeah.
Your wireless charging.
So
with the AirPower charger going away, there's nothing really all that compelling to have a,
that was pretty,
know, a nice
hilarious,
pad
wasn't it?
Hold my, yeah, I didn't put my phone and my watch and my AirPods on at the same time. I don't care. You know, you can play shell game with them if you want. That was the theory.
But apparently when you have 30 inductive coils, it's kind of like a stovetop.
I'm fairly convinced that their problem is the difference between the watch charging and regular Qi. Mm. There's probably some resonance set up between those two slightly different frequencies that they're using to make their watch proprietary.
And, you know, I think I heard on some podcast or read somewhere that one of the possible problems was it was causing problems with things with for other devices like pacemakers, which would be a bad thing.
Probably.
You know,
carrying around your air power in your shirt pocket.
Yeah. Hey, since I've got some double E's here, you know, I thought I'd ask Sven and Steve. So, you know, so I've got a Qi charger that I got. It's an Energizer. It's, you know, UL listed and all that kind of good stuff. But, man, that thing really heats up. I mean, it is literally hot if you charge something on it. And, you know, I've always told people in my, you know, layperson ways is, you know, big temperature shifts like heating up your device and letting it cool, that's not good for anything. You know, the materials or the electronics. What do you guys think? Is that heat from the Qi charger a problem? Or the heat combined, the Qi charger heat and the combination of the battery heating up while you're charging it on these inductive coils?
I would say there's a design flaw in that. I mean,
and they all right?
It's half of a transformer is what you've got.
Yeah.
Transformers heating up usually means there's some eddy currents going on there that shouldn't be. Steve.
Oh, yeah. I mean, inevitably, when you charge something, you're going to generate heat as a byproduct.
Sure. In general.
Right. Unexpected.
Yeah.
But excessive heat, I mean, will degrade battery life significantly the hotter you get it. Yeah. So,
and I've got to say, those things that I was a dumbass and paid $80 for my charger, those don't heat up.
Really?
The ones I paid $15 for, they tend to get warmer.
That's interesting. So you're paying for engineering.
There's something to it.
Yeah.
You know, so my Pixel charger and remember the old Lumia chargers? I don't remember them heating up very much.
Hmm.
And some of those were, you know, $50-$60.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So none of us bought the new AirPod V2s, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
And I just read that Amazon is supposed to be coming out in some kind of AirPod competitor site, which I presume will be cheaper. So I'm going to just wait for those before I do anything. Because I've got a bunch of, you know,
you can order stuff without saying having to, you know, go all the way over to your Echo.
Well, you know, since it's going to be attached to your head, they're going to have telepathy now. And you can just think of what you need to order and they'll just order it for you.
That's right.
That's how
at the rate for me waiting for AirPods to actually include some way to control volume with, you know, adjust your up or adjust your down, I'm just waiting for Apple to be able to figure out by the twitches of the hairs in my ears that I need it louder or I need it, you know, quieter.
And yeah. Well, you know,
it seems more promising at this point.
Well, the other reason I'm waiting.
Like I said, the new Power Beats have volume things on them.
And they
the
new ones and they'll stay in your head.
Wireless. And they will stay in your head.
Yeah.
That's my wife doesn't have AirPods because they hurt her ears.
Yeah,
I'm the only person in the world that AirPods fit well in their ear, I think.
No, mine do. I can wear mine for hours. Yeah.
So do the AirPods like automatically adjust volume Based on ambient conditions? No? Oh, okay. I figured with the microphone, if I'm listening to music, it'd be nice.
One of the things that people complain about is the only way you can use your phone to adjust the volume on them, or you can say, "Hey Siri, turn it down." But you have to tap them and then say, "Hey Siri,"
like
and
an
she
animal.
Has to listen, and like an animal. Yeah,
you can also do it on your watch, though. I have done that while I'm walking around, and you can use the crown on your watch to up and down the volume,
which is pretty cool. I forget about that.
By the way, you know, my theory is that the Amazon AirPod competitor is going to have some kind of ad-supported version. So when you go into Whole Foods, or you know, you pick up an apple, it goes, "You know, people who bought apples also bought." And
there you go. That would be cool.
People who eat apples are also likely to commit sins. You know, just the whole thing. You know. Fun facts.
All right. Next up, let's see. AirPod. Sven. One of the reasons I thought of Sven was he actually subscribed to Apple News Plus.
Well, John did too.
I did too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, but Sven,
it's a 30-day trial. Yeah. That might be all I get.
Tell us about the download thing, because that was fascinating.
The whole thing isn't very polished yet. I mean, I don't know if John believes it, but about the only thing you get on some things is font size. That's the only thing you can change. That's it. And it's not on every magazine they got.
Right.
Some of them look like they're just plain PDFs. If you make it bigger, the whole thing, and you lose half the sides, and you got to scroll back and forth.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But when I was messing around looking for stuff, I found on Apple's site, or actually somebody else kind of commented on it, and I went and looked for it. It says manage downloaded issues. First line, you can't delete an issue that you downloaded to your device. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. New issues of magazines that you follow automatically download to your iOS device when you're connected to Wi-Fi. And I can say that's true. And have enough storage. Automatically downloaded issues delete themselves after 30 days or sooner if storage space is limited. Manually downloaded issues won't delete unless storage space is limited. And I can tell you, I manually downloaded one just to see. There is no interface to get rid of it at all at this point. Hopefully. So, but I do know that, you know, if I look at a magazine, I don't hit the little download button. If I just look at a magazine, it apparently downloads because I turned it on airplane mode, and those are still there. And others that they've suggested, but I haven't opened yet, aren't there. If I try to open it, it says you're not connected to anything. So it does download things by itself, but I'd be really hesitant to tap that little cloud button with the arrow on it, because you know, once it's there apparently.
And I guess part of the reason is, even though I think all of us have probably a lot of storage on our phones these days, we still think old school, you know, back when we had limited amount of storage and we had to really think about what we're going to put on our device, right?
Yeah, you can also think about what you can take off your device, and it's nothing, and that's really bad.
Yeah. I'm looking at so I've had my iPhone XS for, I don't know, half a year, something like that. And I'm just seeing how much space. I've got 215 gigabytes available, so it's still quite a bit of free space. You know, more than I have.
I've got a Pixel 3, and I was looking at it this morning. I've used up a third of it, and I've got the 128, I think, is what it is.
Yeah.
But I've used up a third of it, and I started looking. Okay, where is it? And it's just little bits and pieces here and there that, you know, I was surprised because I figured, okay, it's all photos or something. And nope, it was mostly music.
Really? I got to go check my Pixel 2, because when I bought it, I bought the smaller one, you know, 64 gigs of storage, thinking, you know, it's really not a media device for me. It's a phone, you know, the communications device. But because the camera is so good, I mean, it's really good, especially the night sight feature, I use it a lot more as a camera than I expected to, and I think I'm filling up the storage, but oh well. Yeah.
There is a way to get those off, you know.
Well, yeah, but I like to keep them on. You know how I do it, right? I fill up my phone, then I buy a new phone.
Yep. That is Todd's preferred way of upgrading. Wait until it's full.
Yeah, so time to buy a new phone.
One thing I noticed about Apple News, obviously right now it should just be Apple magazines, because there's really, you know, no way to browse news content.
Yeah.
And I will note, I did cancel my New York Times subscription to go to Apple News. So it'll have to be worth it for me to continue. Of course, I was getting like the "you're threatening to cancel" rate for the New York Times. So yeah. It was, you know, like, I think $5 a month or something I was paying for that. But one thing I did notice as I was browsing through magazines for probably the first time in 2 or 3 years, because I just haven't been subscribing to magazines or buying magazines. I had a Xenio account for years and just I kind of let a lot of that lapse. There is a unique sort of content discovery in magazines that you don't always get on the internet these days, even if you follow websites that are designed to give you short-form content discovery. And so I think there might be a place for that to make it worthwhile flipping through technology magazines, and there's a lot of magazines on there, you know, Linux enthusiast magazines, stuff like that, where the stuff I just wouldn't run across in my daily work. But it is, you know, good enough for a 250 or 500 word blurb. So now, I think that's an interesting thing.
Can you read it?
RSS speech used to do that for me, and now even RSS seems to be.
Can you read an entire magazine, you know, cover to cover, so to speak, digital cover to digital cover?
Yeah,
or is it just articles? You can flip through.
No, you can flip through, and you see the ads. And I had kind of forgotten how kind of the niceness of a full page ad in. You know, showing you something unique versus a interactive ad. I've gotten very used to banners and little sidebars and stuff. So sometimes a full page is a nice thing.
Yeah, and going back,
it's pretty nice on a full size iPad or an iPad Pro. It's really nice. You know,
going back to what Swen said about the formats. I also read on like iMore or someplace that there are 300 magazines and half of them are PDFs.
Versus, yeah, I would say, and you custom. Can tell the difference because the ones that aren't or are a little bit more built for this do have the adjustable font. The ones that are PDFs don't even have that. There's no adjustment. You have a tendency if you're an Apple guy to want to tap and hold something to see what happens. Nothing happens, unless you happen to hit a link and then you get to an ad.
I still haven't.
Not terribly impressive. The thing about it is, it's they're in their news app. There's a little spot that says News Plus, and that's these things.
Right.
The regular news still has a lot of things out of all those magazines. They'll pick articles, and you can read them, and you know. So
although some of them
specifically that you're looking for,
in the free side though, some do hit the paywall. Like I think Wall Street Journal and others, but they're on the free side. But they they like only show you the first paragraph or something.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys convinced me I might at least do the 30-day free trial to see what it's like.
Yeah, don't forget to cancel.
Yeah.
that's the goal. Sign up for free. And
that is the only reason also that I will give Apple some of, you know, I'd rather go with a slightly less than optimal service from Apple than a better service from a content creator, because content creators still try to make it insanely hard for you to cancel.
Yeah.
Whereas Apple, you can just say, you know, cancel subscription in a couple of taps. So there is something to be said about that, playing nice with your user instead of the old, well, you have to call us or you have to, you know, send a certified letter,
yeah, from your lawyer.
Well, I mean, the way I canceled AOL years ago was by fax. Because if you called, it was virtually impossible. But if you literally wrote on a piece of paper, cancel my subscription, here's my name, and just faxed it, that got through because there was no way for them to try to save you at
that
point.
That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
So if Apple went and poached all the guys from Xenio, I think they'd have a good service.
Yeah.
True.
To get the interface.
What they did was bought Texture, so...
Yeah, well, never heard of that, honestly.
Until in a couple of years when they just buy Xenio.
Alrighty, next up, Apple's credit card. It was another meh for me. I don't know. You guys got excited about the Apple credit card?
Not yet. It's not out.
I like the idea of 3%.
It might go the way of the power pad or something.
True.
They won't be able to figure out how to make a credit card.
Right now, when I buy Apple products, I don't get anything more than usually the 1% or 1.5% cash back on my credit cards that I use primarily. I haven't got a new credit card since 2003, so I'm willing to give it a shot just for the 3% cash back for when I do buy iPads and refresh my MacBook in 2020 and that sort of thing. So
yeah,
but yeah, as we pointed out, it's not out yet, so it might not appear. But, you know, I think if, again, Apple tends to make things a little friendlier than other companies, and so credit card companies aren't exactly the most evil group, but they can be at times.
They're pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty close to evil. You know, not Google.
Yeah, I like the you know what they showed about their billing things, where you can where they actually grabs the logo of what it is you bought or where you bought it. So rather than having them trying to figure out the cryptic things that are normally on a charge card statement, kind of reminds me a little of Google Fi's statements. They're very easy to read.
Yes,
a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, so if you could do that with a credit card statement, you know, you can that alone would make it, you know, a nice thing to have.
Yeah. Google Fi is awesome.
Get rid of some of the other ones, scare the hell out of them.
Yeah. By the way, are you going to use a Google Fi for your wife's
yes.
iPad Mini?
We have my Surface iPads all have Google Fi data sims in them.
Hmm.
They're just wonderful.
Nice.
Costs you nothing unless you use it. I used to do AT&T. I'm an AT&T guy.
Right.
And, you know, I'd get a data plan for something.
Right.
And, you know, it's $15 a month whether you use it or not.
Right.
So, the only thing still AT&T data is my watch, Apple Watch, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So, there's no way to move that to Google Fi.
Okay, and the card, Apple Card, is supposed to be metal, so in a pinch, if it's not too filthy, you can use it to cut stuff. But we'll
scrape ice off.
Scrape stuff.
But you wouldn't want that.
Yeah. Titanium, I think.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty sweet.
Get a pair of tin snips, you can cut it into a razor and kill some with it.
Yeah. Well, it's like Steve...
File it down.
Steve Wozniak's business card is all metal, and it can pop out and create a knife and all kinds of stuff, I think. But anyway, if you ever get one from him, it's a tool.
I wish I had the money for those business cards, but... Yeah.
Okay, this one I found interesting, but the information provided was useless, and it's Apple Arcade. So Apple Arcade is Apple's gaming, Netflix-type gaming solution where you pay some unknown monthly fee. It will be available in some unknown time. They said fall 2019. And did we really see any? I guess we saw some snippets of games that look kind of interesting. Let's assume it's $10 a month, $9.99. Anybody going to take it? Steve, no, because you're an Android, so I'm assuming that's a no.
Well, I do have an iPad that I bought John.
Yeah.
So if the games are interesting and good, yeah, I'll pick it up. Yeah. I've been doing a little bit more mobile gaming lately on my Samsung S8, and I've enjoyed it. So if they have some good games, and for mobile gameplay, it's about like the quality of the game, if it's telling a story. So if it has a good story or a good gameplay mechanic, and it's not always about the graphics. I mean, a lot of really popular Xbox games, other platforms are 8-bit games that the resolutions aren't super high, but it's the quality of the content of the game. So
I mean, look at Papers, Please.
Yeah,
that
Papers,
was intentionally
Please, that was
an 8-bit graphic, and the content was what drove it. For me... Here's the thing. If Apple Arcade has a blanket ban on in-app purchases and freemium, then it's a definite win, I think. And that's actually, I think, what they've kind of alluded to, is that mobile game developers are not interested in developing good immersive games anymore because they feel like they have to monetize, you know, make it free and then monetize it with all the various upgrades that you used to traditionally buy, you know, get through the game.
Right.
And even very good games like Rebel Inc. and Playgame, which I think are two really great titles on iOS, even though you pay for them, there's still tons of upgrades that, you know, you want to extend this, extend that. I could see that being a nice feature of this, to actually go back to games that are built with all the content available for unlock through gameplay instead of buying.
I guess for me, I just have to find out how much it costs and what kind of games available. Because honestly, I don't really play much. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't play a wide variety of games on my mobile devices, on my Apple devices. And as John knows, the one game I do play is no longer works on modern Apple devices. And that's Sid Meier's Civilization Revolution. Actually, it's not Sid Meier's, but it's based on Sid Meier's. It only works on 32-bit devices. So I have to keep one of my old iPad Pros on iOS 10, otherwise I can't play my favorite game anymore. So
you're looking for a fun game that's kind of a turn-based one, you should take a look at XCOM.
XCOM? I've heard of that.
They made a whole bunch of them in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And then they brought it to PC platform, Xbox. It's a real fun turn-based strategy type of game. You upgrade, you level your characters. The storyline is pretty good. So
sounds good. I'll take a look at XCOM. XCOM, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I think I remember that. I remember hearing about it. Never tried it. So, meh. We'll get into my subscriptions rant next. And that is Apple TV Plus. Again, they said. Well, not again, but they said no. They said it's going to be available next month in May. But they didn't explain pricing at all. So I'm not sure I understand what it's going to cost. Apparently some stuff will be free. I'm not sure. And then other things like third-party stuff, like HBO, you got to pay, of course. But I'm not sure I'm getting it. And I'm really reluctant to buy into yet another streaming video subscription. Because I've got too many now. And I think I'm going to have to go get the Disney/Marvel/Pixar/whatever streaming service when that comes out. So, I don't know. What did you guys get out of that? I still pricing. How does it work? What do you pay for? What's free, if anything, or is you got to pay for everything, like Netflix?
They got Oprah. That's all I took away from it. And that wasn't even an important selling point at all for me. It was just what I saw on the day of release. So. Yeah, it's too soon to tell for me on what Apple TV Plus is going to offer. What I really would think, and Apple has the weight. Apple and Google both have the weight to do a la carte cable plans.
Yeah,
which would be really cool to see Apple TV Plus or Google YouTube Live do, where it's just okay. Here's all the cable channels you know of. Just check the boxes next to the one you want, and you see exactly how much you're paying for it. And I can see a lot of cable companies getting very, very nervous about that.
Mm. Well, like you said, they can subscribe to HBO, Showtime, and Stars. I'm not sure I see anything else.
Do that now.
CBS All Access, Smithsonian Channel, Noggin, no idea what that is. Like I said, I don't understand what the appeal is. I already get CBS All Access through Amazon Prime. I mean, you can get it standalone, too. I just happened to get it at Prime, so I don't have yet another interface to deal with. I have to say, I enjoy it more than I thought I did. I would, I should say.
Isn't like Roku or some of those services, if you have multiple streaming services, if you're searching for something, mm-hmm. it will go out and search all the streaming services to at least make it easy?
I think so. I should check. I have a couple of Rokus in the house. I should go check how they work.
Okay.
Yeah. But I like Roku. In fact, I prefer Roku to the Apple TV for a number of reasons. One, you can get more stuff on it, more content channels.
I tend to do my Roku, and the Apple TV I use if I'm going to run a movie.
Really?
Yeah.
It just
seems like the quality's better.
I've been buying my movies through Google Play, because I can play it on more devices. Mm-hmm. Although I guess I could get that. What is that service where you can do, I think, anywhere, everywhere, one of those
movies,
kind of
movies anywhere?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I could do that,
but I
never did.
I do use that.
Yeah.
But straight off the Apple TV onto the TV seems to do very well. And I'll buy my movies. Occasionally I'll buy one from Apple.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling they'll be around longer than others that, like Microsoft.
Like Microsoft eBooks?
Yeah. So. Plays for sure, Sven. Plays for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still dinosauring it. I still buy my media. I still buy Blu-rays and 4K.
Wow. Like physical device, physical discs?
like physical media.
Wow.
I haven't done that in years, mostly because I don't tend to rewatch things. So, having a bunch of these things sitting around, they're just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
I used to buy the physical discs because they had those extras, like the how to make the movies.
Yeah, and they got that on Apple. If you buy it from iTunes, you get that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And I did that. Well, I mean, the last thing I watched was Greatest Showman. And I've been waiting and waiting for that thing to come out for rental. I finally got tired of it and just paid the $20. It's still cheaper than going to the movie.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I mean, I upload a lot of my stuff to my own Plex server so that when I'm go anywhere. I can stream it. Yeah. I know you can do that with other services and stuff that. So,
but Plex is a good way to do it.
Yeah, it's my internal geek need.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, and I saw a guy walking down the street with a giant physical paper book the other day, and I was I think I was staring.
What's wrong with that guy?
I haven't seen a person carrying a big, huge book in ages, you know? And I was like, wow, is he a time traveler? Did he come from the past? I mean,
what's the deal? I'll tell you how backward we are here in Colorado. Every once in a while, I still throw this big phone book thing on my doorstep.
Oh, I get those too. It
goes straight to the recycle bin.
I get one of those too, but I live in a town of 12,000 people, so it's a thin little booklet more so than anything else, which is kind of ironic. Here's an interesting update. I have two updates. Okay. One, I made a joke this morning on Facebook that was an Oregon Trail reference.
Okay.
And I gave people a poll option of attempt to ford the river or caulk the wagon and float across. What do we think is the winner right now? What do most people choose of 39 votes or 38 votes? Ford the river, caulk the wagon.
Was there caulk back then?
it was tarish, but yes.
Okay. I don't know. Ford the river.
There's a clear winner. There's one that's 29 votes and one that's 9.
So. I'm going to guess caulk the wagon. Did I guess wrong?
Swen, do you want to take a guess?
No, I put in mine. I said make camp and wait for the river to go down.
Nah, it is caulk the wagon, 29-9. Yeah. So I don't know why that was the more popular choice.
I don't know why. If it's a river's high like that, you get halfway across, you're going to wind up downstream somewhere. You know?
Very true. Yeah. But then here's the other update that I find interesting. So Verizon customers this week, Verizon's had a service called, what is it called? Call Filter Pro, Call Screening Pro, whatever. Okay. It's their anti-spam, Call Filter.
Right.
It was a $2.99 a month service. Now there's a free tier to it. And all the free tier really does, you can't customize anything. It just gives you some spam cutoffs earlier. And I did notice that my spam calls did go down this week after I installed it and signed up for the free tier. But the one feature you can use on the free tier is that they have a direct shortcut to change your outgoing wireless caller ID.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, the cellular caller ID that, you know, up until now you can never really change. So mine, because it only supports 14 letters, always cut off the last two letters of my name.
Yeah.
And so I changed it to use the shortened form of my name, and I also put doctor in front of it, because why not?
Why not?
And so I called someone this week, and they're like, how did you get your name to come up as Dr. John Westfall on my phone? on my office phone. I said, well, I'm magical like that. So if you have Verizon, Call Filter is now, there's a free tier. I would recommend trying it out. It does cut down on spam calls, and you can go into the settings and change your outgoing caller name for your line to something that's a little better if you have more than 14 characters in your name.
Right. And if you have AT&T service, they have a free app called Call Protect. It does not let you change your caller ID, but it does seem to do a pretty reasonable job of blocking spam, and if it doesn't block it, it allows you to manually block it. On a related note, on Google Fi, which does automatic blocking, I think, at the service end, but on Google Fi, on my Pixel phone, I've been getting a whole bunch of calls from Apple support. With Apple support's actual 800 number, this is a known spoofing problem. But I always think it's hilarious, and it auto blocks it, so I never really pick it up. I never hear it ring. I just see it in my blocked attempt list in Google Fi. But I'm tempted to unblacklist them and pick it up and say, yeah. So what's wrong with my phone, Apple? Can you help me? And you know, you do know it's Android, right? Is that the problem? Should it be running iOS?
I actually got one at work the other day. It was somebody telling me that Microsoft was going to stop support in my country.
Oh.
Oh. Wow.
No. Yeah. So that I needed to, sign up for.
Pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, what country were you in at the time? What country were you in?
I was kind of here.
I mean, Colorado is a unique place. So
wait, Colorado's part of the U.S.?
And, of course, my work number's on a military base, so.
Maybe that was the country they were referring to.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, boy. Yeah, spammers and spoofers and all those folks, they're fun. Although my favorite is still the Chinese embassy call in Mandarin, by the way. So, you know, it's not half as funny if you don't know Mandarin. But I turned on Google Translate when it came in and had to, like, translate while I was talking. It's hilarious. if you have not gotten those, and I suspect where you guys live, you it's mostly where there's a high Asian population, like up in Vancouver, Canada, and along the West Coast, and here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's a long call, too. It's about a 40-second robocall. And basically, in Mandarin, they tell you, hey, you know, there's a Chinese embassy, and we need you to come down right away and, you know, pay us this thing, or else we're going to deport you, and all kinds of bad things will happen. So, yeah, it's pretty nasty.
And Microsoft will no longer support you.
Yeah, that too.
Just out of spite.
That's the worst thing. Hi, this is Windows support. You know, I haven't gotten
if
one of those.
If you don't pay for extended Windows support, we're going to deport you through China.
Yeah.
You know, it just all comes together. That'll be the minute and a half long robocall. Yeah. The king of all robocalls.
You know, your Windows 7 whatever is going to, you know, be out of support in January, so you better go take care of that right now. Pay us some money.
Got to have an African prince in there somewhere, too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the African prince is going to meet you at the Chinese embassy.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, well, that's all I've got. You guys got anything? Steve, got anything you wanted to, anything to promote or?
I wouldn't say anything to promote or shill. Well, I guess more so in the question of, like, movies for, as you were talking about, like, the Apple TV and whatnot, and how you rent and consume movies. Do you do much 4K content for, like movie watching? Do you, like, is 4K something that's important to you, like, when watching movies? Because I've had this debate with some coworkers. They're like, the true, like, home theater enthusiasts are like, oh, yeah, absolutely, got to buy the disc, not going to watch it compressed, I want it. Full quality.
Yeah. Not an issue for me.
I'm 66 years old, so I can't tell.
I don't think I have any 4K devices.
I tend to buy the high definition. You know.
Yeah. I don't think I have any 4K display devices.
I do. I mean, my TV is 4K, and so is my Apple TV.
Can the iPad Pro do it? No, I can't. I don't think.
And I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can tell the difference. I think I can. You know, if I do the high definition rental.
Yeah.
But I don't think I have any 4K DVDs. I think I have a player.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah. I am a fan of, you know, all kinds of video content and movies and so forth, but I don't really care if it's 4K or not. Because I don't have anything good enough to play it on. Okay. Not an enthusiast.
I'm a slight enthusiast because we were just talking about, like, seating and viewing distance, kind of the same thing as retina display.
Yeah.
You get a 4K display and you're sitting 10 feet, 12 feet further back in your room, you're really not going to notice that quality.
Absolutely.
A friend of mine was just going through buying a new TV and talking about, well, 4K this, and I was like, well, make sure you get a size large enough and how you want to consume your content. I was like, HDR is sometimes more important to people for the lighting quality difference than the entire 4K resolution. So.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Sven, bought anything new?
Yeah.
Always.
Nope, not really.
Okay, and how's the rain over there in down in Mississippi, guys?
It came down pretty heavy a little bit, but now it's sort of back to normal, so... It's just a rainy day here. It's a good day to stay in and talk tech and play video games, podcasts, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you probably... Let me turn off this light to see if that... Nah, it doesn't change anything. I was going to say...
makes you dark. Makes you like a, you know, a deep throat or something.
Yeah.
Shadows.
Yeah, I'm witness protection. Well, over here it's kind of cloudy and 78, I think. It feels kind of warm. And there's a giant mango tree behind me in full bloom, and my eyes are starting to itch. I should probably take some allergy meds. But at any rate, I think that's all I got. Thanks, guys. This is our first podcast in a month, John. You've been pretty busy.
I know. We've been on very secret assignments.
Yeah.
And now we're back for at least a little bit.
Yep, and thanks to Steve for joining us, and thanks to Sven to join us. Really appreciated his findings on the Apple News file storage. File storage gate. I don't know. I'm kind of annoyed by that. I mean, and what happens if I stop the service after the 30-day free trial? Are those files going to be there forever and ever and ever until I get a new phone and you know, however?
I mean, presumably, if you delete the news app and then reinstall it, that should take care of the...
Can you delete the news app?
You can. You can offload it according to how Apple puts it, so it saves your settings but doesn't, but deletes everything off your phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But there's nothing right now. There's nothing even in there in the Files app or anything like that that kind of gives you an idea how much it's using. So.
Alrighty, folks. So, thanks again, and we will talk to you next time. Hopefully, in less than a month. But you know, John does have super secret missions that he has to, you know, take on, and well, you just have to do what you have to do. All right, folks. Thank you.